Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
Sal's and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. halfway through the show. It's been a great one so far, and it feels great to have a show after a W because, man, and we look, the calls yesterday were outstanding.
They were so good.
And we love them, but we love beams more.
Yeah.
We love W's more. That is what we love. So thank you to all the callers from yesterday. Thank you for all the participation here in the dog segment and just in the show, for the show in general, as we take a trip around the NBA. We talked a little bit about the Rockets laying the smackdown on the Lakers, and they just might be good now. We might just have to accept that they're good now, and that will be a tough pill to swallow.
Or maybe the Lakers are just the worst team in the NBA.
Or maybe the Lakers aren't very good, which isn't good for the Kings because that was their signature. That's their signature win so far.
Yeah, but they did it without De'Aaron Fox at the end, right?
They did, and Sabonis. Did not have Sabonis either.
If the Kings can say, oh, we started 0-4 last year and look what happened, I think the Lakers can say, I believe the Lakers started 2-10 last year. So
they
made the Western Conference Finals.
Well, you know, they made that change, and they are missing Jared Vanderbilt. That might be...
At least they're not like the Grizzlies and are fine in the West.
Right, you know? Right. So
they're not worried about the West at all.
I know we did our dog segment as far as the players and, you know, what they brought to the table. But another way to ask this question is, what stuck out most to you in this W?
Mm-hmm.
Because we do have a question on the text line. And again, if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. And 916 is asking, is JaVale McGee sick? No sight of him on the bench last night. I thought I did see him on the bench.
He was on the bench, yeah.
Okay, you were in the building.
He was there.
Yeah, he had on his knee sleeves. Mm-hmm. He was a coach's decision, did not play. There's been no reports of injury or anything like that.
Nope.
And 916, if you watch Alex Len, my question is, did JaVale McGee do anything more than what Alex Len did last night?
No, definitely not. Except, the only thing that we missed from JaVale was just random acts of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, Alex Len just, he's the same body type. They're both 7-footers who are really strong. I might even think Alex Len has the strength advantage over JaVale. And maybe even, like, the quickness at this. I think Alex Len is an underrated athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like the way he moves, especially for how big he is as a person. Like, he moves really, really well. We saw him stand in front of Shaedon Sharpe. I don't know how many humans are going to stand in front of Shaedon Sharpe as he's coming full speed down the lane and get a block. So, I don't see why you wouldn't give Alex Len more minutes. And it really doesn't even have to do with JaVale. It's just for how well Alex looked. And frankly, it's how well he's handled his entire Kings tenure under Mike Brown. I think he deserves to be given a fair shake at that. If those rotational minutes are up for grabs, I think Alex Len definitely deserves to have a shot at him.
Yeah, and I think it really depends on who you're facing, and it could be a matchup thing. This is your backup center position.
Yeah.
Nothing has to be etched in stone, not in my opinion.
It wasn't last year, let me tell you.
Right, right, and I don't think it needs to be this year. The one thing I think we would all say JaVale has over Alex Len would be the jumping ability.
Mm-hmm.
So do with that what you will, how much that should matter, and you have the jumping ability for JaVale, but then you have the negative plays that don't seem to happen with Alex Len.
Yep.
So those kind of cancel out to me. And Alex Len, he caught 3 bodies last night,
mm-hmm.
so he can catch an alley-oop too. If you're Malik Monk, you can get any big to play well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, maybe it's more so Malik that's elite in pick and roll than...
Yes.
I mean, obviously JaVale is an elite weapon, but it's like, you know, if you got a 7-footer rolling down the lane and Malik's just throwing it up there, I think it's going to work out more times.
Right. And just some of the bizarre plays that we've seen from JaVale, and this is just what it is, right? If you are Mike Brown and you're searching for answers here, and I'm thinking back to the great outlet pass that JaVale volleyballed to LeBron James, which led to LeBron's
moment,
right? And then some of the things...
His Kodak moment.
So some of the things we've seen from JaVale that are good. There's good JaVale and bad JaVale.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to worry about that as much with Alex Len. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, if you said, okay, because of the leaping ability, how does that translate to blocks? Alex Len got blocks too.
He did.
Right?
Yeah,
Alex
he's
Len
a big
had
body.
2 blocks. He had 2 blocks. He was a +8 for those who do like that stat. He had 10 points, 6 rebounds in 13 minutes. So I think those guys could go back and forth and as the game kind of, you know, maybe you just go with the hot hand. Okay,
yeah, totally.
this guy's been doing some good things in practice, or this guy's been understanding some things, or if there is a more of a leaper at the center position on the other team, right? Maybe you go with JaVale. Another guy who we did not talk about, and really this thing, two guys that escalated and de-escalated extremely quickly. And I want to go to one of them because this was an even bigger conversation. What in the world has happened to Chris Duarte? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been a lot clunkier of a fit than what we all thought. I mean, Whitey was sitting next to me yesterday, and he was like, you know, I think all that stuff that we were talking all summer about how Sabonis and Duarte just have this natural two-man game that, you know, was really, you know, blossomed in Indiana, and we can bring it here to Sacramento. I think that was all propaganda. Because we haven't seen it. I mean, we haven't seen those two play off each other at all. Duarte really is just dribbling a lot, which is not a big part of what this Mike Brown offense is supposed to
look like.
I don't
know what he does well, to be
honest.
Yeah,
he plays physically defensively, but I haven't seen him play well defensively, if that makes sense. So, I mean, it's been an anomaly, because I really thought Chris Duarte was going to start. I thought he was going to start. Like, I really thought that he was going to push Kevin Huerter for starter minutes, and I thought he was going to get 20 to 25 minutes on a given night. And
He got 11 last night.
He's getting to the point where he played the least minutes of any player who stepped on the floor yesterday for Sacramento. So, yeah, it's definitely fallen. And I wonder also, like, what happened with Colby Jones' minutes yesterday? He went from being subbed in the first quarter to not being played at all, and you know, maybe it had to do with his. You know, he didn't look great with the ball in his hand. You know, his handle wasn't super tight, but I thought he was productive enough to get some minutes. And maybe he's just a rookie, and maybe this is more about defense than anything, because the other guy who got a DNP out of nowhere was Sasha Vezenkov. Maybe Mike Brown is just kind of taking variance out of the equation. Right. Maybe he's like, look, Sasha might be okay defensively, and he might give us something offensively, and JaVale might have a stat line that looks similar to Alex Len, but both of those guys can have such big lapses or such big errors, just because, and Colby as well, just not knowing really how to play in this system. Like, I think he just kind of cut out all the possible random variations, and I think he just, again, went with guys that he felt like he knew what he was going to get from.
Yeah, and one thing that we didn't talk about yesterday, I think it might have dropped right after the show or towards the end of the show, was the recalling of Petrusev.
Yeah. So I think that's more of like happened a lot last year too with Kata and Keon Ellis, where it's just, you know, it's just GMs being GMs. Like, yeah. you move up to the big squad just so you can be there on game day. Maybe you can get a practice with the big club. Then you get recalled down to Stockton, and, you know, you're playing full minutes over there. But I think that's just kind of like an administrative-looking thing.
Everything's on the table.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely the only one. I think the other night in Houston when they got absolutely boat raced, he's still the only person who has not suited up for the Kings. So that's definitely interesting. Maybe he's also just kind of getting acclaim to everything that's going on.
I mean, when the Keon Ellis news dropped, obviously, the first thing we were thinking about was Davion Mitchell. Mm-hmm. But I also thought, if I'm Colby Jones, I might feel some type of way, because we were sitting here thinking, okay, if it's not Davion, it would be Colby Jones. Yep. If you were just refusing to put Malik Monk in the starting lineup, and he got completely passed over.
Just taken out.
Completely passed over. And I don't know how much of that is, I have Colby Jones in case Davion doesn't respond and Davion responded incredibly well. So maybe that's part of it as well.
Yeah,
but definitely. Yeah, you have that going on. JaVale McGee, who JaVale is consummate professional.
Yeah.
He will be fine. He will be ready when his number gets called again. JaVale has done so much in his career. I think he's chilling. I don't think anybody needs to worry about that. Vezenkov, to me, we never really knew what was going to be the case with him. It's so early on in his career being a part of the NBA. But yeah, the Duarte thing to me is not
super strange.
It's not worrisome, because I don't necessarily think the Kings were going to be beaming or not based on Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
I think if you're saying you thought he might be a part of the starting lineup, then I think that he could have been a big part of it. But right now, and it's not over yet, I'm just watching, and he just looks like he doesn't really know where he fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have guys, if you go through this lineup and what they do, you have your Davions that penetrate and kick out or hit spot up jump shots, yeah. right? And they defend. Then you have kind of the creators, which is Sabonis and Keegan Murray. And I would put Herter in that first category as sure. well. When I look at Duarte, he should be in that. And then you have Harrison Barnes, who, by the way, we're going to play when we get back. I'm letting Kyle know now. We are going to play how many minutes? And I'm looking at the box score. We've been looking at the box score. So it's up to you, Sack Towners and Chris, to guess how many minutes. Kyle, did you look already?
I have not looked at
the number yet. Okay, because I'll run it today then because I accidentally saw. So Chris, Kyle, and the Sack Towners, we will be guessing how many minutes that Harrison Barnes played. So want to hang around for that after the break. But yeah, I mean, the Chris Duarte thing to me, not worrisome, but at the same time, you're going to need guys. And what we saw, the rotation we saw, I mean, yesterday, and I have it written down, you just talk about some of the bizarre. Just some bizarre lineups last night up until, I don't know, I can't remember when it started, but it went until 8:15 in the fourth quarter. The lineup was Malik Monk, Davion Mitchell, Kessler Edwards, Alex Len, and Chris Duarte.
Man, that was not on my bingo card, that's
not,
for sure.
That is not. Hey, you got the W, but you don't want to see that too often.
I don't think Mike Brown, what was like 3 weeks ago before the season started, if you would have said, hey, Mike, in 3 weeks, you're going to enter the fourth quarter with those guys in.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, well, did everybody, like, did our bus go off like a ledge or something?
Okay?
Yeah.
Take out Duarte and put Trey Lyles in? Yeah. That was one of our backup units last year,
That's true.
Not a fourth quarter closing lineup.
Right, fourth quarter closing lineup just hanging on, and maybe that's a, like I said, Mike Brown really going high school here and just saying I'm riding the hot hands and seeing how long we can last. And if you get a W, nobody has any questions. Got to get to a break. When we get back, how many minutes did Harrison Barnes play, and we continue to look ahead to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Thunder!
Sacramento's official home for the San Francisco 49ers.
Sacktown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. On the YouTube chat, before the break, I said Sacktowners, and Jess Escoto, huge friend of the show, but just despises any nickname that I create. And as the rules go here, Jess, come up with a better one. I actually didn't come up with this. I heard that on an ad, the Sacktowners. I heard it on the ad, so that is not an Allen original. So maybe you'll like it more because it was not created by myself. As we take you up to 2 p.m., we're talking all things Kings, looking ahead to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and still breaking down the Blazers and the Kings as they win 121-118 in overtime. What we liked, what we didn't like, what we thought we'd see, and what we didn't. And we did not see a lot of Chris Duarte. We did not see any JaVale McGee, but he was, for those asking, he was on the bench. I thought I saw him on the bench.
He was.
Chris was in the building.
He was definitely there.
He was definitely there. Sasha Vezenkov, the people's champ, did not get a lot of time either. But it's still early, and Mike Brown, above all else, does not care about your feelings.
Nope.
He cares about winning, and that's what the Kings did last night to see the first beam in 10 days. Other things that happened around the NBA, the Spurs got crushed by the New York Knicks.
Mm.
Brooklyn beat the Clippers, and the Brooklyn fan base roasted James Harden chanting Maury because they were best friends. Apparently, did you saw that report that Daryl Morey has a James Harden statue in his
home? No. It's not a James Harden statue. It is a commissioned painting of like it's a
little movie, man.
It's almost as if like he's a Roman emperor or something, and he has a painting of James Harden that is like pretty angelical, from what I understand, and it's just hanging in his living room.
I wonder if he still has that after the beef.
I think so. I think he does.
So if he feels like Daryl Morey, if he feels that James Harden changed his career, right, and hey, without James, I don't know.
James
Harden
built that house that the weird painting is in.
What do you mean?
James Harden's the reason Daryl Morey got all that money from the
Rockets. Well, that's what I'm saying. So if you feel like, hey, without him, I wouldn't be here, so this is my homage.
Sure.
You got to think Brian Windhorst must have LeBron paintings in every house, right?
Oh, yeah.
In
yeah.
every room of his home.
He's got a closet, for
He
sure.
has to.
He definitely has a closet.
He's got a statue in front of his
home. The all-time winner
LeBron.
Of this game, right, is A-Rod having a painting of A-Rod as a centaur in his house. That's a real thing.
That's a real thing?
That's a real thing, yes.
Not surprising.
Not surprising.
A-Rod, you talk about good PR, found a way back. Now he's on Shark Tank, and everybody loves
Timberwolves,
A-Rod again.
Timberwolves.
All that to say, Daryl Morey might be number two on, like, weirdest commissioned painting
in
someone's
house. I'm sure when the summer comes around, we can dive deep into all of this. Yeah. We can't wait. And we also can't wait for the game tomorrow, which, of course, you can hear
right here
on Sactown Sports, the flagship for your Sacramento Kings, the Beam team, the Beam regime. That's right. Yes, I said it. It's going to be a thing. Just trust me. I'm getting the shirts made right now. I'm working with some designers, right? Speaking of Shark Tank, we're working with some, you know, some people. We're keeping it in-house, keeping it not overseas. We're keeping it in the U.S., so be on the lookout for that. We're working on some things, that's for sure. And hopefully Shai Gilgeous-Alexander isn't working on too many things when he goes up against the Kings. Real quick, as we go through, just because I know Chris wants to talk about this. Steph Curry.
I call him Wardell.
I just think, Steph Curry missed a potential game tying. They were down to Draymond Green. And again, bringing it back to the Kings, the Suns played last night. They got Bradley Beal back. Devin Booker's out, okay? So, and by the way, another team that I didn't include in this, but they played really long because they went to the finals, Jamal Murray.
Yep.
Terrible hamstring injury. He's out at least till the end of the month.
Yep.
Draymond Green, I don't even know what the injury is. All I know is Draymond didn't play, and I don't believe GP2 played either. So that is why, even if it's an ugly win for the Kings, these wins matter. They matter. So, last night, the Nuggets down to Jamal Murray, the Warriors down GP2 and Draymond are in a battle, and Steph Curry has an opportunity to tie the game. I guess there was a goaltending that didn't get called, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know.
I will say Steph actually did handle that part really well.
I heard him
in the postgame. He was like, there was a goaltend. They didn't call it. Play on. I was like, hey, man.
You're saying they didn't send anything into the league like the Lakers?
Oh, I'm sure that's coming. Yeah, no, definitely. You play. It's like you show a front of like, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. You know, play on. And then behind the scenes, you're like causing up the biggest stink that anyone's ever seen.
So do you want to describe what happened on the play with
No,
with
I have
Steph?
No idea. I was at the arena all
Steph,
night.
Yeah, so Steph Curry, they could have tied it up. Steph smoked. He had Clay in the corner as well.
Yes, he did. I did see it.
Steph smoked wasn't an easy layup, but it was a finger roll. Missed it. Nuggets end up winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the last play with Clay when there was about 1.5 seconds left and Clay was on a fast break and he goes to shoot it and it slips out of his hands and goes about 2 feet in the air? It got memed everywhere.
Oh,
it was, and it was just like, if you had no context and watched this, it's the most funny, thing. It was hilarious.
Yeah, so it was like a 3-point game and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope missed a free throw with like 2 seconds left and the Warriors had no timeout, so they just kind of like threw it down the court like, Clay, go.
He
and
had
like,
a chance.
Yeah, but he just couldn't get the ball in time and get the shot off.
Right.
Like he could have timed it, he could have caught it, pulled it, but the clock would have expired.
It would have been, it was ahead of half court. It would have been a really tough shot, but he couldn't even hold the ball enough to get it off, so The Warriors lose as well, for those who care about that.
Things you love to see.
And the Grizzlies. I know I tease it. I just think it's a little bit funny. And word to the wise, life comes at you fast.
It sure does.
One year, you are a budding dynasty. The next year, McDonald's medium fries are more expensive than your NBA tickets to your game.
I miss those days.
McDonald's fries are $4.11 right now.
Gosh.
I guess it depends on where you are.
This is more.
But they're $4.11 medium. And by the way, pro tip.
That's way too
pro
much.
Pro tip, I saw, I think, a TikTok on this. Don't order large fries. It's the same amount of fries. I watched it.
Okay. I've seen these kind of videos before where, like Starbucks is like, you know, it's just the amount of ice that they're putting in these drinks.
Yes.
It's all really the same quantity.
Order the large if you want, but I watched it. I watched it, and as we know, everything on social media is true.
Oh, yeah, it's fast.
So, everything. You know, the two fries, they fit in the same thing. So, medium fries right now, and I would assume in Memphis, right? That's what I'm guessing. $4.11. Mm. The
that's
cheapest
a robbery.
Memphis Grizzlies ticket, and I believe they're 1-7. Are they 1-7?
1-7.
It's $4.
Hmm.
And what's crazy about that in general is
have the fries. Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought that's where you were.
I'd rather watch. Would you rather have fries or watch Jaren Jackson foul out and his Sean Marion push shot.
Yeah, I would much rather have a nice, delectable, medium fry than watch Jaren Jackson get four rebounds. I'm sorry, I said eight. I gave him
way
too
deep point.
I gave him way too
you
much
watch
credit.
Watch how you talk about the deep point.
Way
like that.
Too much credit.
Update on this story because on SeatGeek for tomorrow's in-season tournament game.
Okay.
You can get the ticket itself for $2.
Come on, man.
Now, with fees, it's obviously more, but the ticket itself you can get for $2 for Jazz Grizzlies in-season tournament game.
That's not good.
That's so sad.
That's not good.
That's so sad. I mean, like, this team was just really good, too. I mean, like, just the fact that how fast... I mean, maybe they're upset about the fact that, you know, Ja, their star got... pretty much just ripped from them for,
right.
I wouldn't say for no good reason, but like, you know, 25 games, there's not really a precedent for the punishment that Ja got. So maybe it's their way of, you know, quiet quitting or whatever, silent protesting or whatever, but that's ridiculous. I mean, there's no reason that a Friday night game should be $2 for any reason.
Right.
Mean, yeah,
and
I don't care if you're 1-7
they're
or 7
they're spending money
one.
On those new, on that new floor.
Yeah, all that stuff. The jerseys. All that stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, I can't believe Memphis is this bad. Like, I didn't think it would be this bad.
No. And Chris and I were talking before the show, Desmond Bain, who agreed, it's nothing signed yet, but he agreed during the summer to a $205 million contract,
something
crazy
like that.
So he's not getting paid that yet. Very similar to Jordan Poole last season. It hasn't kicked in yet. But he will be. And you have Jaren Jackson, who I believe is making $28 million.
$27, $28 million.
So you got some big money guys in there who you would think would be better than 1-7. And now my question to you, Chris, is I know life comes at you fast. And Ja, so what? They're 1-7. That's 8 games.
Yep.
So, and Ja was 25 games, right?
Yeah, still a long way away.
As we bring this back to the Kings and how many teams you need to worry about.
Yeah.
Are you ready to write off the Grizzlies in terms of, hey, this is a team that is going to be in the battle with the rest of the West?
I would say so, but it honestly has more to do with Steven Adams being out. I just feel like they don't like.
You're big on Steven Adams. That does not move me.
I love Steven
Adams.
That does
not move
me. He's just their only real big. And so they don't have, like, they're pretty much like the OKC Thunder of last year. Where they just, I mean, you still need a center. Regardless of what the Warriors have tried to show the NBA through their run, you still do need a big man. And, yeah, I really think that Memphis is going to struggle to get rebounds and to really protect the paint. Like, right now, their big problem is they can't make shots. Like, they can't, they're much similar struggles to the Kings. They can't make shots. They don't have anyone who can create shots for others without Ja Morant just running at the rim and having everybody close in on him, leaving the open shooters on the perimeter. They're relying so heavily on Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson, who, again, I will continue to harp. Jaren Jackson is the worst rebounding big man I have ever seen life. It's insane how bad he is at rebounding the basketball. I think at some point you need to have a physical low post presence, especially, do you think in the Western Conference, if you want to make it like deep in a playoff run, would you have to stop any dominant big man by any chance? Is there any? Nikola Jokic. Yeah, that guy.
I was
Anthony
thinking
Davis.
Yeah.
There's guys out there that you probably need to have a body on those guys if you're going to be playing against them. So I just realistically don't think Memphis has enough without, especially without Ja for 25 games.
Right.
But then when you take on, you know, when you take on Steven Adams and then whoever ends up getting injured in the future as well. Like, I just don't think that team has enough.
Now, they'll be frisky, right?
Of course.
Once Ja gets back, they're going to have something to prove.
Exactly.
Stay on that side. We got to hear all that from Ja Morant. Ja, you did it to yourself.
Yep.
I don't know who you're mad at besides Instagram Live and your friend who recorded it.
Yep. Silver lining, Grizzlies are doing pretty good at defending this year. It's just their offense is 29th in the league.
Yeah. Well, they've always been good defensively. It's just been about, and that's why you paid Desmond Bane, hasn't kicked in yet, but paid Desmond Bane that money. Maybe he's another guy that looks really good with a job. Maybe it's a Sabonis situation as well without a De'Aaron Fox, even though Sabonis did ball out.
He did.
He was a dog. He was one of your dogs. Got to get to a break. We get back. The question is, he lit the beam last night. Should he stay in the starting lineup? Keon Ellis, that is the question. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Headlines.
Good afternoon, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sactown Sports headlines. The Sacramento Kings won in overtime 121-118 against the Portland Trail Blazers. Malik Monk had a career-high 10 assists, made 12 straight free throws, and scored 16 fourth-quarter and overtime points. Frankie Carticelli has a must-read recap of the game that you can check out right now at SactownSports.com. The Kings are now 3-4 on the season. Their next game is in the first-ever in-season tournament against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Friday. Your Sacramento State Hornets are at home this Saturday at 2 p.m. against the Cal Poly Mustangs. Get your tickets at HornetSports.com. Those are your headlines. Reminder, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Now let's return to Stiles and Watkins.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., 11th official show.
2:15.
2:15.
Come on, man. You're going to leave me early.
I'm just keeping you on your toes.
I know. It's good.
I thought you were going to leave me during the show yesterday.
Yeah,
as I'm still fighting off Twitter trolls.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
But you know what? I love it.
You do love it.
That Dwayne Wade meme.
You really
I love it.
I love it.
Are we gonna? Is that gonna just be a part of it now?
It's lore. I told Dave on the morning show. Toes is just lore in that midday show now.
I love it. I do love it, and I do love your shirt, Kyle, which says "Light the Beam." They got De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis on here looking shredded. It looks like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
it's, it's anime De'Aaron Fox and anime Demonis Sabonis with the beam. Shout out City of Beams on Etsy. They made a local artist made this awesome shirt.
Can you find me one with them Super Saiyan?
You can definitely find one.
If there are any local artists out here who want to commission Alan a painting of Super Saiyan De'Aaron Fox.
A shirt.
Oh, you want a shirt.
I want Super Saiyan De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, whoever. I want Super Saiyan versions of that. Help your boy out, and I will rock it here.
What would the Keegan version of Super Saiyan look like? It's just slightly more.
It would say, yes.
It would say, what's up, Vancouver?
Yep.
That's exactly what it will say.
What's up, Vancouver?
What's up, Vancouver? As we get ready to talk about Keon Ellis. But by the way, as we get this rolling, Kyle reminded me we are going to play right now, not right now, in a couple minutes before the segment ends. How many minutes did Harrison Barnes play? Now, today's version, I've already seen it, but Chris has not, Kyle has not, so they're going to guess. We want you on the YouTube chat to guess as well. This is a game we play here on the show when it is confusing as to how many minutes Harrison Barnes played. No disrespect to our guy. We want it on the chat as well.
Kind of seems like it's a little disrespectful.
Well, you started it. You started.
I did. No,
it's
definitely
a legitimate
started.
Question. It's a legitimate question. 916-339-1140 on the text line. It's all in good fun. We just ask questions, right?
Yeah, that's all we're doing on this program.
Sometimes he's just doing cardio on the floor.
Okay, see, well, there you go. Tony Snell meme. The Tony Snell meme. 0 points.
He has never Tony Snelled. Trust me, I've been on the lookout. He has never actually Tony Snelled.
No, which is of course kind of not. Impressive. That's insane.
It's like, you know what that kind of is? Wow, this is crazy. LeBron has this thing where he's allegedly, not allegedly, if you look at his stats, pretty much it's incredible how he's always 27 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds. In his NBA career, which is now however many X amount of multiple thousands, I don't even know, hundreds of games, he has never actually had a stat line of 27, 7, and 7. And much like Harrison Barnes, he does do the Tony Snell, but he has never actually Tony Snell.
But that LeBron one is way crazier because we're like.
It's kind of crazy to Tony Snell. I don't know. It might be more. Which is more impressive? Playing 20 minutes and literally not registering a single statistic or averaging 27.7 rebounds and 7 assists? I feel like I've
but
seen.
But never actually doing that.
I don't know. Like 30 people a year do
that's
27,
what I was gonna
7,
say.
And 7.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
How many people. Someone did do it a couple years ago. Someone did do the Tony Snell meme.
It's really tough.
I can't remember who it is.
And by the way, like we said, Homer Radio, we can do that. Like we said, we enjoy ourselves. We talk about the beam. We love the beam.
Yes.
But the bottom line is Harrison Barnes, the same way we talk about Davion Mitchell when we would like him to step up, the same way we talked about Sabonis. We're just challenging people.
Yep.
We are just challenging you because we want more beams.
Yep.
That's all it is. So we'll get to that in a second as we talk about Keon Ellis. And again, Keon Ellis, I'm not completely sure if he's the reason that the Kings won, if that specific switch, but did it trickle down into how Davion
Mitchell
effect, played?
Right.
Did it trickle down into how some of these guys said, wow, if coach is willing to do this, I better be on my P's and Q's. If De'Aaron Fox can't go tomorrow, which we hope he does, and we hope to have an update for you, would you like to see Keon Ellis out there again?
I think so. I think because the conversation we had earlier as well, just with how the matchup goes with against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it feels like you would need a guy like Keon, who kind of does match Shai's physique, I guess, in a way. Keon's a 6'4 guy who's got a really long wingspan and brings a lot of defensive prowess. I think it makes a lot of sense to throw him out there. And then, yeah, all we really need from Keon is just for him to be a little bit more aggressive looking for a shot. And if he can knock down a couple of threes and stay on the floor for an extended period of time, his defense is going to be there every single night. I'm not concerned about that at all. I think I said it on the live stream the other day, but Vivek likes to talk about players like they're superheroes and says, like, you know, De'Aaron's superpowers is speed. Keegan's superpower is his shooting ability. Keon Ellis's superpower is his defense. And I will continue to preach that I think Keon Ellis today is an elite defender in the NBA. I think that it makes a ton of sense to throw him out there if De'Aaron can't make it, because I just think he's going to make an impact no matter what. Like, I think even if he does finish a game with 4 points, you're still going to notice him out there, and I think that's the biggest compliment you can give him.
3 steals last night Keon Ellis had.
The lob.
Come and on. The lob, the skywalking, right?
On.
The exclamation point with that most random, if somebody had that in Vegas, right? I mean, what is that, 1 in about 200,000, yeah, right? That would happen.
That's cashing out.
So shout out to Keon Ellis for skywalking and Keegan Murray for throwing a great lob. Yeah, I do think that you have to have him out there, and we hope to have an update on De'Aaron Fox. But I just think that in terms of, and Dwayne Baker said it on the YouTube chat, you at least need offensively, you can't let Shai just chill.
Yeah.
Right. You, even if you're not comfortable, just huck him up so that at least Shai has to respect you, right?
Because
you can't let him conserve that energy.
Can I ask you a question real quick? A question that was, as we know, was asked on a different show here. If Keon doesn't start, do you still want to see him get minutes? If that makes sense?
I think you have to. You got a W. Yeah.
And does that still come at Colby Jones probably not getting minutes?
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the conundrum. Like, I don't know
if there's
a wrong
answer. But does
Davion
play like this tomorrow?
Exactly. And does Keon play like that again also? You know,
We talk about the positives, but Keon did have 2 turnovers. I mean, had a turnover.
He had a really bad turnover. I mean, and he got caught in the air, and he just, you know, much like JaVale tipped that ball perfectly to LeBron.
Right.
Keon just threw it down court right to the Blazers, and I think Matisse Thybulle got an easy dunk on the other end. So, yeah, I mean, Keon wasn't perfect yesterday either.
Right. All right, it's time before we get to a break.
Let's do it.
It's time for us to guess how many minutes did Harrison Barnes play?
There you go.
Okay.
I see some. I'm going to go through the YouTube chat and the text line already.
Okay.
Ernie Castillo says Harrison Barnes played 31 minutes. That is, that's respectable.
Sounds
Nick Town
right.
says he played 33.
Okay.
Kyle, let's go to you. How many minutes do you believe Harrison Barnes played?
So I think those people are on the right direction, except there was also overtime. I saw like Jeremy Grant played like 47 minutes or something, which was kind of funny.
Sheesh.
But the problem is I can't remember if Harrison was out there in overtime or not.
Wow. See, that's what we're not doing.
No, but isn't that
no,
the segment?
No, but we're doing it without doing it.
I know, but that's kind of the segment.
I assume he had to play at least part of overtime, so I'm going to go.
Keegan didn't. So
yeah, Keegan.
Yeah,
I don't know if that helps you figure it out.
I'll go 35.
Okay.
Maybe it's like 34-40 or something. I'll say 35, though.
Okay.
35. Manny Too Legit at 30 minutes. Epic Air Bees at 28. What say you, Chris?
28 sounds a little right, but I think, like Kyle said, the overtime makes me think a little bit more. I remember Harrison playing a good amount in the first half because, I think you had a Prize Picks as well. I just remembered him not doing well in the first half and me thinking, you know, he was actually out there for a really long time. And then I also remember he hit that clutch corner three in the fourth quarter. And that was when I was like, oh my gosh, he's back out there. How many minutes has it been? So I'm going to go with, I'll agree with the chat. I'm going to say 31. 31 sounds right to me.
Okay, we have Ernie at 31, Nick Town at 33, Manny Too Legit at 30, Epic Air Base at 28, Kyle in at, Kyle, what were you actually in at?
Say 35.
Okay, and you are in, Chris, at
31. I'm going to agree with some of the chat.
The answer is Harrison Barnes played. Harrison Barnes played 36 minutes. 36 minutes.
Of a possible 50, what? There's 5 minutes of overtime, 53?
Yeah.
Right?
5 of 8 from the field.
Okay.
2 of 5 from three. That's 40%.
Yeah. Okay.
5 rebounds, no assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, -1 on the night, 12 points.
I think the key is that he had that moment in that fourth quarter. Because without that moment in the fourth quarter, I'm with Kyle where it's like, did he play in overtime? Did he? I think you mentioned the lineup to start the fourth quarter. So I guess he played in that fourth quarter.
And the one thing with the, you know, younger team is making mistakes. And he doesn't make mistakes, and one way to get noticed is to make mistakes. So it's not all negative here, he did play 36 minutes. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we continue to preview the Thunder, Oklahoma City, Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous, Josh Giddey. Are they ready? The Kings should be. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
The only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2:15. You get an extra 15 minutes. Tell them what they've won, Johnny. You watch the Game Show Network? Anybody here? Game Show Network people?
I used to.
Me too. Yeah.
If it's on somewhere, sure.
Family Feud?
Not so much anymore.
The last time I watched Game Show Network was getting my car serviced, so it was just on in the lobby.
That doesn't count. You have to willingly watch it.
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting to watch. I think they were, what's the game where they say like whammies or whatever?
Press your luck.
Yeah.
Oh, see, we got a guy, Chris.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to watch Game Show Network like all day when I was a kid. Like during summers, my parents would just drop us off at a babysitter's house, and me and my sister would just watch Game Show Network like all day.
Yeah.
Card Shark, great game. There so you simple.
Your sister older or younger?
Older, 2 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, you're the baby.
Yes.
Hey, we're here at like 10 o'clock. I'll put like Price is Right on in the studio for you guys.
Price is Right goes crazy.
I disagree.
Great show.
I was never a big Price is Right guy.
I don't like
Bob Barker.
I don't like Plinko.
Yeah.
Some of the games on Price is Right don't make sense to me. They don't make sense to me. What does make sense to me is seeing a beam last night, and that was time. And I'm really happy here as we get through this 11th official show. Because the 916, Chris and I were talking before the show, and we said, you know what? When we kind of get at Sabonis, we have people that ride for Sabonis. Mm-hmm. When we get at Davion, there's people that ride for Davion. When we get at some of these guys, they are, hey, you know, the Beehive or for Beyonce or whoever it is. Hey, there are people that say,
Swifties,
hey, don't get the Swifties. Don't talk about my guy like that. But when we talk about Harrison Barnes, a lot of times you don't hear too much. And here is the 916 that says, Barnes scored in overtime, you haters.
Ah.
I'm so happy to see that.
There you go.
I'm so happy to see that. Barnes scored in overtime, you haters. Good.
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 Glad.
We want him to do that.
Great.
We want more. Love it. I want some more of it.
5 rebounds yesterday, too.
Yeah.
That's like a nosebleed
for
Harrison.
No, but I'm serious, though. We want Harrison to ball out. We like HB.
I would love it if he did.
Okay? We know he's a consummate professional.
Yes.
There are just some times. There are just some times where we don't know what's going on or where he's at. That's all.
My biggest problem is I expect too much from him.
Yeah.
That's the, like, he's suffering from success in my eyes. Like, I expect more. It's just he's so good, he's so talented that I just think he should be able to do more things more consistently, and he just doesn't. And that's my biggest problem. It's not that I think he sucks. It's not that I think he can't do things. It's literally the quite the opposite. It's actually kind of a compliment when you think about
right.
it.
Right. I expect more of you. Right? It's like that coach. We're like those coaches who, hey, coach, I went 2-for-4 today, yeah. or whatever it is. I mean,
could have gone 3-for-4.
Could have been better.
Could have gone 4-for-4. You know,
right?
Pretty average, right?
Yeah. Maybe, and then they try to reverse it on you. Maybe it's my fault for thinking that you can do more.
That's my bad. That's what I'm saying. It's right? on me. It's on me for having those expectations on you.
No. Do you want us to lower our expectations for Harrison Barnes? Because we could do that.
Yeah.
But totally. That doesn't help the team.
Yeah.
That doesn't help the Beam team. That doesn't help the Kings get to the second round.
No.
That doesn't help the Kings improve if we lower expectations or if we are okay with what we're seeing from Harrison Barnes. That doesn't help.
Double digits should not be the goal for him. Like, we shouldn't be excited by 12 points, 5 rebounds.
Not on this team.
No. That should be a bad night. 12 points and 5 rebounds for Harrison Barnes
in 36 minutes.
That should be a bad night for him. He should say, I really didn't, you know, I was just, he should say that was my Tony Snell game. I was just out there running and I really didn't make the impact I wanted to make. But this is what we're getting pretty much every, like, it's just, it needs to be more. It needs to be more. I mean, and the problem is too, we already got the example. Mm-hmm. Game one, we saw what this guy's capable of and B, how easy that win was when Harrison Barnes played well. We had Frankie in the other day. Me and Frankie have been talking about this for years. It's really cut, dry, and simple. When Harrison Barnes has good games, the Kings tend as a collective to play really, really well. Because if Harrison Barnes is playing well, and that means you have to give extra attention to Harrison, well, that means that you're forgetting about Kevin Huerter. It means you're forgetting about Keegan Murray. It means you're forgetting about Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. It brings everybody else. It brings everyone else's game up because it makes people focus on a guy that, frankly, they don't game plan for because they expect this kind of performance out of him. And they're saying, you know, if you just D him up a little bit, he's going to pass. He's going to be super passive. Don't worry about it. The problem is if you get him going, that's when everybody else gets going. And I think teams understand that. And that's where Harrison sometimes, I talked about it leading into this year where there was not a single game last year where I was like, Keegan Murray's pressing for his shot right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that nonstop this year. Keegan, 4-of-17 yesterday.
Right.
We're seeing Keegan press. Now it's Harrison where it's like, dude, you're 5-of-8. I think he's shooting over 50% from 3 this season. Mm-hmm. Shoot more.
Yeah.
Shoot more until those percentages look like Keegan and Kevin's. Because at least I know those guys aren't, you know, they're sucking, but not for try. You know, not for lack of effort.
Yeah, right. And he really can be the X factor. And you talk about, who is the best wing defender on this team? I think just we would typically say Harrison Barnes because he's always been, I would say, a slightly above average defender. And then you see what Kessler Edwards did last night, and he didn't completely shut down Jeremy Grant, but nobody was going to shut him down. But then you start thinking, man, Harrison, what is your calling card at this moment in time? What is it that you do? And my question to you is the famous situation with Keegan, where Keegan doesn't take the shot and Mike Brown was going to take him out and then he decides to keep him in because he hits the shot. That's all fine and good, right? So that happened and there was a very lively exchange between the two. Mm-hmm. Then from a couple weeks ago, you have Mike Brown just laying into Malik Monk. If you don't get this right, I'm going to lose a job, yada, yada, yada. When it comes to Harrison Barnes, and I know you have to coach everybody differently, do you think Harrison gets a pass because he's the elder statesman and because maybe Mike Brown just feels like we're going to get what we're going to get? I just can't really see Mike Brown laying in to Harrison Barnes the way he lays into some of these younger guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely think it's one of those things where, you know, teachers don't yell at the quiet, smart kids.
Right.
You know, like,
because
those kids are usually well-behaved and they usually take care of their business and there's just not really anybody you need to worry about. You know, you don't need them raising their hands and answering questions because you're not concerned about them. That's the last of your thought. If you're concerned about those kids, that's how you know things are really going wrong. And I think we were getting towards that point with this Kings team. If they would have continued to slide, I definitely think it would have gotten to the point where Mike Brown would have had to say, look, again, like we Sabonis, you're not safe. Nobody's safe. Not even Harrison's safe. But yeah, I definitely think it's a little bit of Harrison is the elder statesman. He's a consummate professional, and I know we throw that term around a lot, but Harrison Barnes is. He's just the way he carries himself is that of like almost again I call him a senator, like he's almost like a politician with how well he carries himself. I definitely think that there's a he's so nice that it's like you don't want to rail into him because he is out there trying to do a lot of things, and it's, you know, it's tough to bag on him because he's never going to be the one that you always look at and say, this was his fault tonight, because he just really, I mean, yeah, he's very rarely, like you said, he's not often making mistakes, but he's also not often putting his imprint on games. So it's kind of like he's just living in this in between, and you're not really going to call that out until you feel like, okay, we're solid, but we need to take another step. That's when you really need Harrison to step up.
Yeah. So I think in a way what you're saying is we're not playing well right now. So there's really no point in
singling him out
yeah. if they start to improve and they're on a run and it becomes more glaring, because that's why the Chris Duarte thing went away.
Yep.
That's why a lot of these things went away, because nobody was playing well, right? And Davion, it wasn't even a matter of Davion. It was just a matter of we need to change something.
Exactly.
Right? So maybe I understand that, but at some point you have to expect more from your veterans, and I don't think it's very, I hate to use the F word here, but I don't think it's very fair as Kyle looks at me, not that one, but use the word fair in terms of I'm going to go at certain younger guys, and I trust Mike Brown, don't get me wrong,
yeah,
but at some point you're going to need more production. Maybe it's not right now
because
you got bigger fish to fry,
exactly.
But once you do figure some things out, that'll be the answer. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we'll still talk Kings, but we're going to take a little Kings breather here and talk Niners, because the bye week is over and Brock Purdy has a chance to show what he can do. I have questions for Chris. I have questions for Kyle. I have questions for you. 916-339-1140. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.